Amen. And last week, we actually had a little homework assignment for us as a body to write down your three top expectations for your life. So we were going to pray over it, but we kind of ran out of time last week. So just, I don't know, Mom, if we have any of these floating around out there, but yeah, maybe we can see if there is. But even if you don't have the official Redeemed Church sheet, just write it down, put it in your phone, whatever, and we're gonna pray over those things today. Just think of three things that you're believing God to do in your life in 2023. Amen. You can have several, you can have 10, whatever, 20, but just think of the top three. Hallelujah. But I want to look at Psalm 107 this morning for our tithes and offerings, because this is a foundation chapter for our church, Psalm 107. And it says this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress." Actually, it says distresses. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Somebody say, distresses. Right? "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze, cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Somebody say destructions. Distresses and destructions, right? Multiple. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships," verse 23, "who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble." Somebody say trouble, right? "They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, a dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. Hallelujah. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours out contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, verse 41, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. But this goes through a few different types of scenarios here, right? People that, verse 4 talks about people that are wandering in the wilderness. There's a lot of people out there that are just wandering through life, lost, right? And I've seen bumper stickers on cars in the Northwest, you know, little silhouette of Washington or Oregon. Not all who wander are lost. Right? Amen. Well, how many know spiritually people ought not be wandering around? Amen. Right? And then there's verse 10 talks about people that are sitting in darkness, bound in affliction. People that are bound in chains by destructive habit patterns, demonic strongholds in their life. Right? So people that are wandering spiritually, people that are bound, right? Then verse 17 talks about fools. Because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, they're afflicted. The Bible says the fool says in their heart, there's no God. Right? So people that just are outright rejecting God out of ignorance. Amen? Then it talks about in verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, and doing business on great waters. They see the work. This one is inferring people that are in financial distress. Right? So people that are dealing with troubles and distresses and afflictions, right? This is why God plants churches. Amen? In this particular chapter, you know, we were drawn to it, you know, because it talks about the redemption power of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it also talks about the power of the love of God and that God is in the business of rescuing people. Amen? So when you're giving your tithes and your offerings, remember that's why we're doing it, so God can save another soul. So he can reach out, so he has a place to bring people. Amen? And even while we're not here, we have a website that's up so people anywhere in the world can log on and hear messages and get links to different places and different ministries. We have a lot of ministries that we partner with that they can be pointed to as well. So the gospel literally is being preached 24/7. Amen? So as you give, you can give with confidence knowing that this is why we're here. How many know it's important to know as a church, this is why we're here? For the wanderer can wander on in. The person that's bound can get set free. The person that's been foolish can get delivered of being a fool. Right? Amen? So people can get saved and set free and born again and healed and prospered. They're dealing with financial issues, can get set free of all of that. Hallelujah. Don't catch yourself talking poverty and lack and shortage and all the stuff that the world is putting out there. Right? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on his word. Stay in faith, right? Because we have a great big God who's bigger than any issue, any challenge we could ever face. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and we'll receive our tithes and offerings this morning. So Father God, we thank you for being so wonderful. We thank you for being so amazing and so awesome, God, that you are the God who redeems. You are still the Redeemer. And God, we call in those people that are wandering spiritually, Father God. We call them, Father God, to places, ministries, churches, God, this church, whatever church you would have them to be plugged into, to be set free from that spiritual confusion and just being disoriented. God, we call in the people that are bound by addictions and habits and lifestyles that are deadly. God, we speak freedom over them in the name of Jesus, that your house would be a place where they can come and be set free. Father God, we speak over the people, Lord, that are just living foolish lives, that just rebel against you and hate you. Father, that they would have an Apostle Paul experience, Lord, that they would have the light turn on, and that they would recognize that you are not the one they should be pushing away, but you're the one that they should be coming to. And for those, God, that are dealing with financial duress, we speak answers to them, Lord, breakthroughs to them, Lord, as they come and they start tithing, Father. Tithing and giving to your work is the way out of this world's economy. And so, God, we speak that over people. And God, we submit and we bring this place to you. We submit this time and this space and this auditorium, God, to be a place where people can come and get connected to Jesus, the Redeemer. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith together to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I receive my harvest in Jesus' name. I receive jobs, raises, bonuses, inheritances, sales and commissions, royalties, ideas, concepts, and insights. I increase today in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And get this gospel preached, Father, around the world, that someone else can be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You know where that goes, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good. God is good. We're gonna stay together as a church family today. So, kids, you can hang with us because we're going to talk about vision. Amen. And if you have your three things, we're going to pray for that at the end, okay? So just keep that in your heart, in your mind. But, wow, what an adventure this guy must have had, right? Getting there. Who's ever heard of a mountaintop experience? Right? Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit would say to us today. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and speaking to us these wonderful things that you have for us as a body, as a church, and each one individually. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I've put some notes out there, some outlines for you to have. This is kind of a refresher on who we are as a church. How many know it's good to know what kind of church is this? Right? Amen. This is one of those messages that will answer a lot of those questions and just kind of show you who we are, refresh to those of us who've been here for a while. But so the first part of this message is going to be specifically about who we are as a church, and then the second part is going to be a couple of prophetic words from prophetic ministries, Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Seville specifically, that I want to look at as well. We respect the prophetic word, amen? Prophecy is really important, and prophecy is not fortune telling. We're not talking about astrology. We're not talking about palm reading and all this kind of stuff. We're talking about prophetic words from accredited prophetic ministers of the gospel, right? And we should respect and regard prophecy in the word, right? And you'll see in just a minute, even what we saw in the NFL this week was when I was hearing some things that Brother Copeland was bringing out, it was like, wow, that is so spot on for even what happened just the other day, right? But Redeemed Church, who is Redeemed Church? Well, we just talked about Psalm 107, which is our foundation chapter, specifically verse 2. By the way, welcome to Vision Day 2023, right? Psalm 107, verse 2 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Hallelujah. Welcome to Redeemed Church. That's our foundation verse. For our church, right? The whole chapter is really about us, I believe, and a lot of churches, not only us. When we say Redeemed Church, I've had people ask me, why didn't you call it the Redeemed Church, the Redeemed Church? My answer to that is because we're not the only ones. Right? The first whatever of God. It's like, no. No, we are part of the body of Christ, right? We're not. And if you ever go to a church and they say we're the only ones doing it right, spooky. Somebody say spooky, right? No. Amen. It's the Word. It's all God. It's the Bible. And we're a part of a great big family that God has around the world. A family of multiple nationalities. Amen. Wasn't it great? I don't know if you were able to come the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we had Pastor James Wasanga from Kenya. Oh, how awesome was that? Amen. And he brought to us the Word. We've had ministers that visited from Mexico, right? Randy and Louie. We partner and support missions work around the world. Amen. Star of Hope is over there in where are they at, Mom? Romania. Amen. We've got a school that we help support in Togo. We've done work in Bolivia. We've got people that we hook up with in Japan. We've got ministries that we partner with in Israel. So it's just kind of as the Lord connects us with people, we're sowing all over the world. And then we've got ministries right here in America that we partner with as well. So all of the giving that comes in, it isn't going to Stephen Shelley's checking account. Just so you know, right? No. Now we do receive, it's biblical that we're blessed for the work that we do, amen. But most of the giving that comes in goes out of this place. I mean, it comes in so we have a place to meet and everything, but 10% of all the giving that comes in to this place goes out to other ministries. Getting people saved and ministering. It's just a wonderful thing that the Lord has given us to do. But redeem means to buy back, to pay off, to recover, right? I kind of like the image of a Coast Guard helicopter, right? We're out there looking for people to rescue. This is a rescue mission that we're on. And this ship, this vessel is available for God to use to rescue people, to get people saved, to bring them out of whatever the devil's trying to do in their life and get them connected with the Redeemer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Synonyms for redeem are words like to win back, to recoup, to regain, to restore, to ransom, to change, to discharge, to exchange, to purchase, recapture, reinstate, retrieve, settle, call in, get back, take in, trade in, right? So as we pray, as we meet, as we come together, we're keeping these things in mind, right? And we're praying throughout the week, interceding throughout the week, praying in the Spirit, asking God, Lord, is there someone I should reach out to and invite into the church? And as we go out into your places of business and education, you are a vessel of God in that place. Let God use you wherever you're at. Amen. To reach and encourage other people that he has you in contact with out in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the Redeemer lives in you. Amen. So don't be surprised if he's reaching out through you to encourage somebody else. Amen. But our slogan here at the church is to be a place where love reigns, the love of God. We want to be known as a place where the love of God reigns. And that was kind of inspired from a church that we love down in Texas, Eagle Mountain International Church. They call it where love is king there. And here we get some rain. So we thought, hey, R-E-I-G-N, where love reigns. Amen? Praise the Lord. Psalm 107, 41 through 43 talks about they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So they won't come into this place and feel judged, criticized, hated. They'll feel the loving kindness of the Lord, the mercy of God, right? Amen. And then if you notice, the word redeemed has four E's in it. And the E's each have a word that we connected to it. The first E stands for exalting Jesus. And each one of these has a scripture that you can look up on your own time because we got to move along here. But somebody say exalting Jesus. Encouraging his people. How many know you should come to church and not feel discouraged? You shouldn't leave the house of God feeling discouraged. Now the devil should leave feeling discouraged, right? But God's people should come in and feel encouraged. Kind of like a spiritual gas station. You get filled up. Amen? Recharged, rebooted, right? And then the next E is equipping his people. Somebody say equip. So you're getting equipped with, right now, you're getting equipped with the Word of God. Amen. Whatever we do, if it's a Bible study, if it's a women's group, if it's a children's class, right? If it's a men's prayer group, whatever, equipping the saints with the word of God for your life. Amen. So this ought to be a place you come in, you exalt Jesus, you get encouraged, and you get equipped. Right? And then the final one is embracing the world. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, embracing the world, I always clarify, that does not mean we're embracing the philosophies of the world. No. It's kind of like, remember, you ever play Red Rover back when you were a kid? Red Rover, Red Rover. Send mom right over. And they have to break through the chain, right? It's like saying, if you want to go to hell, you're going to have to get through us. Basically, right? So embracing the world, we love the world. We don't hate people. We love people. Because I was loved. I was forgiven. I was received. So God would receive someone else. Amen? So we're embracing the world with the love of God. And then we have some core values. The core six, we call them. These are all laid out on the website as well. But we walk in love. Ephesians 5:1-2. We live by faith. Romans 1:16-17. We pray about everything. Philippians 4:6-7. Prayer is ongoing. Amen. We put God's word first. Deuteronomy 6:5-7. We make disciples. Matthew 28. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-15. These are core values of our church, and these things should be rolling out all the time, even if we're not doing, you know, sermon series on each one of them, which I have. It's actually, we've done weeks and weeks of teaching on these things. But how many know it's important to walk in love, right? Walk in love, live by faith, be in prayer, be in the Word of God, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not a disciple of Redeemed Church. When someone gets baptized here, they're not getting baptized into Redeemed Church. They're getting baptized into the family of God, right? And we are led by the Spirit of God. Learning to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit is priceless, right? We shouldn't have to always call the minister or somebody else to get God's guidance in our life. We go to the Word, and we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Amen? Now, he'll put people around us for wisdom and to bounce things off of and all of that. But ultimately, it's you and Jesus. Amen? Ultimately, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit for yourself. Right down to where you go to church. Amen? Who you marry, where you go to school, where you work. He'll be involved in every aspect of our lives if we allow him to be. Amen? Somebody say, Lord, I allow you to just have full control of every area of my life. And we've given him full control of this church, too. Amen? So that's kind of a summary of this church and who we are called to be. But I want to spend some moments right now looking at some prophetic words for this year specifically. And the first one being from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And Brother Copeland has shared some specific things regarding this year. And in your notes there, that's kind of the eagle eye version. from his 2023 partner letter. The word of the Lord came to me several days ago saying, make sure that my word is final authority in your life in 2023. Now, to clarify something about a prophet of God, because there's other kind of sects of Christianity that have taken their leaders and almost made them like God. Right? Well, you don't question these leaders. Well, no, a prophet of God is submitted to the word of God, and you don't just receive something from a prophetic ministry just because they're a prophetic ministry. Or someone brings you a prophetic word, and here's my business card, I'm prophet so-and-so, and therefore you will, you know, receive this word. I've known people before, as I was, you know, growing up in the ministry, that were almost persuaded to marry somebody because someone said, thus saith the Lord. That's creepy, right? No. You make sure that's of God for you, and that it's biblical also, right? Amen? But the Copelands and Jerry Savelle are a couple that I've always enjoyed, and they've had a great track record history of just being solid in the word, and they have churches, and they're not out there by themselves. They have a whole, you know, group around them. And they actually have churches in their ministries, and so it's just a marvelous thing. I also enjoy another one that I enjoy is Pastor Hank Kuhneman, and I had something from him for this year too, but I couldn't locate the specific area that I found it, so I didn't want to bring that to you today. But I really enjoy Pastor Hank Kuhneman as well. But Kenneth Copeland says this. From January 23rd, his partner letter. And you can partner with all these ministries yourself. I would encourage you to. Just go on their websites. This is from kcm.org. What an amazing ministry. Just a great source of encouragement. They actually have a whole network called the Victory Network that you can log on to and watch broadcasts from a number of different ministries from around the world that just will encourage you throughout the day. Amen. How many know church is really a wonderful thing? But if all we do is eat on Sunday, we're going to be starving through much of the rest of the week, right? So it's good to be plugging in to places where we can feed and be strong in the Lord. But he says this, the word of the Lord came to me several days ago saying, make sure that my word is final authority in your life in 2023. Amen. Now, a few things that he shared. I'm going to read to you a few more to kind of broaden this a little bit. He says, this is from his minister's conference from about a year ago. He says, 2023 will be as exciting as it can be. It will be a time when you will say it, and the devil will flee. All around you will begin to rise up like great mountains of victory. I think mountain is going to be a big word for us this year. Right? And you will stand strong and say, God is on my side in 2023, and he's blessing me. And this particular one is from his broadcast, September 29th, 2022. What about 2023? What will 2023 be like? Lots of changes, enormous amounts of changing, a lot of disturbances that the nation will begin to be ironed out during that year, because the major decisions of the Supreme Court is made. Once the Supreme Court here makes it, God makes it. He makes it right and turns it around. But 2023 will be as good as it can be, because you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Glory to God. You will know and understand more about this book and its authority in our lives. Hallelujah. I believe that word authority is a big word this year. So we rejoice in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood covenants in this book. Yes, it will be a great year of great healings. It will be a year when whole churches will be healed and brought back to a place that they have lacked for the last 5 years. It will be a year of judgment, good judgment. I will judge things good, and it will be a year of judgment upon bad things. People who do not pay attention to what the word is saying and pay no attention to my word and to my people, they will come to a place where it is just an act of judgment because the seeds they have sown, and many, many, many of them will come to pass in 2023. There are those that will say, glory to God, I've been corrected, and now my finances are straightened out. There are others who will say, I don't understand why all this has happened to me, but I guess give God the praise. But people will begin to know and understand that victory is at hand when you worship me, praise me, and put my word as final authority in your life. You will know me because I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way. My Father is truth. With the two of us together in your life, truth will become a way of life for you. It will break the bondages the devil has put in there. All of this will come to pass before 2023 is halfway through. Somebody say hallelujah. And then on October 26th of last year, he said this: there will be many that bow the knee to Baal, but there will be many that bow the knee to me. Now, when I saw that, I thought of the NFL. There's been a lot of knee bowing this past week and people coming to God. When I saw that image, in fact, I put it up here. See, that's their brother in the ambulance who they don't know if he's going to live or die. And all these guys just sat there and prayed on these big, tough NFL football players. And you know what they didn't talk about? They didn't talk about who they were praying to. Everybody knew who they were praying to. There was no room for political correctness when someone's life is at stake. Right? So when I saw this, it was like, wow, right? There will be many that bow the knee to Baal, but there will be many that bow the knee to me, saith the Lord. For the outpouring of my generosity and my goodness has begun and will continue and go on and on. For the bottom line is the freedom of my people and the true freedom of this nation. It's one thing that really encouraged me. We were glued to this for like 2 hours. We were watching the game. And that's one thing that really jumped out at me was all the voices out there crying out of shut prayer down, shut the church down, Christianity is evil, and all this God stuff is bad for you. Well, our nation showed us right there who our nation really is. And this didn't stop right here. It kept going and going and going, and people were praying and they were saying pray. You saw the ESPN analyst, the broadcaster, pray right on television, right? For the bottom line, Brother Copeland says, is the freedom of my people and the true freedom of this nation, that people, the people that raise this nation up are part of the great cloud of witnesses. They are witnessing it in the spirit, the power of the resurrection of this nation to bring it back to its original roots. And that word resurrection, we could almost say that Brother DeMar experienced a resurrection. And what a spiritual picture of God raising a nation back. Hallelujah. And to bring it back to me, I'm going to read this whole sentence again. They are witnessing in the spirit the power of the resurrection of this nation to bring it back to its original roots and to bring it back to me on bended knee. And he said that October 26, 2022. And what have we seen all week long? NFL game after NFL game after NFL game. The whole nation praying literally guys on their knees. Now see, that to me shows that that's a prophetic word fulfilled already. We're not even through the first week of January. And this is happening in our nation, right? I have heard from heaven, from my people, and will get it done. It will look better, do better, and be stronger than you ever dreamed it could be. This is 2023. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The word of the Lord, and this is from, I just read that part. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Jerry Savelle's message. We're doing good on time here. Jerry Savelle, I haven't really preached a whole message like in almost a month, I think, so I'm just going to go on for a little bit, right? Because of holidays and things, you know. Jerry Savelle's ministry, Jerry Savelle said this, God spoke to me saying 2023 will be the year of the maximum, the year of the highest level attainable. Glory to God. And he was talking about your sowing, your tithes and your offerings. Believing God for maximum harvest. And you know what I thought of when he shared that? I'll go back to this image here. When he was sharing that, I thought of how many people could fit in this room? What's the maximum capacity? I'm taking that for our church. Right? And it's right around 200 seats we can put in this room. So that would be something for us to stand on as a body. Let's believe God for maximum capacity in this building, right? And I'm going to read to you some things from Brother Jerry's letter here, too. Thank you for bearing with me on this. I think it's important to look at. Hallelujah. He says, Happy New Year. My staff and I are praying for you and believing for God's blessing and favor to show up big time this year in your life, bigger than ever before. This year can be different for you. This year can be the year you experience a breakthrough harvest like never before. Do you believe that? Well, God has given me a message to share with you. As we move into this new year, I want to tell you about the prophetic word God has placed in my heart for 2023. What could you do? What could you do now if a hundredfold return came from every financial seed you've sown? There is a shift that is happening this year. You're waking into a new season of harvest. You're walking into a new season of harvest. God spoke to me saying 2023 will be the year of the maximum, the year of the highest level attainable. When God spoke that to me, it reminded me of what one of my dear friends, Charles Capps, prophesied on February 1st, 1978. It's cool when they refer to prophecies of previous years, because even though something was prophesied in a different year, we can still claim it, right? There's no clock on God's word, right? Amen. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said, financial inversion shall increase. The economy shall go up and it will go down. But those who learn to walk in the word, there's another thing about the word, right? They shall see the prosperity of the word come forth in a way that has not been since by men in days past. And they in a way that has not been seen by men in days past. Yes, there's coming a financial inversion in the world system. It's been held in reservoirs by wicked men, but the end is nigh. Those reservoirs shall be tapped and shall be drained for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will see things you've never dreamed come to pass. Charles Capps wasn't the first person to proclaim this. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Amen. Hallelujah. God has planned a wealth transfer, and it will come to pass just like he said it would. The Amplified Classic Edition puts it this way. The wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous, for whom it was laid up. Proverbs 13:11 reveals wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. I would add that as it diminishes in wicked hands, it increases in righteous hands. Makes me think of my daughter got me a Star Wars Monopoly game, like the classic Star Wars where you're trying to rule the galaxy. I was R2-D2, my little person, and Lane was Darth Vader. And Luke was a sand people, if you've ever seen Star Wars. Well, eventually, somehow, all the money ended up in the hands of the sand people. This made me think of that, right? Eventually, all the money, all the wealth of this world is going to be transferred to the righteous. Amen. That's what the Bible says. One more reason to be on God's side. Amen. There is an abundance of wealth in this world. It's just in the wrong hands. Wealth, according to God's word, doesn't belong in the hands of the wicked. It belongs to righteous for the primary purpose of being able to finance the gospel. Amen. As the world gets darker and darker in these last days, there must be an increase of preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every dollar invested in reaching people for Jesus is money well spent. Now is not the time to shrink back or reduce ministry spending. It's time for the church to shine even brighter. Hallelujah. God wants to fund the gospel through you. How is this transfer of wealth going to happen? One of the ways God is going to cause the financial inversion is through the hundredfold return on financial seed sown. The maximum, the highest level attainable. Did you know that your harvest is crying out for you? Look at what James said. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. James 5, 3 and 4. Reading these verses in James, you'll see there are two cries. The wages, harvest, those to whom it rightly belongs, harvesters, or you. The Message Bible says it's a cry out for judgment. Judgment means discerning right from wrong, good from evil, and correcting it. Judgment seems like a big word for this year. So see, when you're reading these prophetic words, what's popping off the page? Authority, the word, judgment, all these things, right? Amen. Your harvest is crying out to be in the right hands. Are you crying out for your harvest? Every seed you've sown is meant to produce a maximum harvest. Jesus says in Mark 10:30 that when you sacrifice for God, you shall receive a hundredfold now, in this time. If you're a giver, you have a harvest on the way. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of a farmer sowing an apple seed and expecting to get back only one apple? Why would he even bother sowing if he didn't expect to receive a harvest far greater than what he sowed? God always blesses us with more than the amount that we sow. The law of seed time and harvest set forth in Genesis reveals God's design for sowing and reaping. Look at the story of Isaac in Genesis 26, 12 through 14. We read that even in the middle of a famine, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year, somebody say in the same year, right? A hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And when he did get back his hundredfold, maximum harvest, when did he get it back? When he got to heaven? No, right here on earth in the same year. Glory to God. The reason I believe that most people don't see this happening in their lives simply is they don't expect it to happen to them. Another big word we're talking about is, what are you expecting this year? Right? Didn't Jesus say, according to your faith, be it unto you? Matthew 9:29. Faith makes things happen. It makes what seemed impossible possible. Faith pulls the what can be into the what is. Speaking of the power of faith, Jesus told a formerly sick woman, your faith has made you whole. Matthew 9:22. Does maximum harvest happening in this time look impossible? Then it requires faith to make it possible. This is your year for maximum, your year of the highest level attainable. Start declaring it and expecting it in your life now. I believe God is turning things around and making things right in your life. Your harvest is on the way. Every harvest starts with a seed sown. As you give, you're setting the stage for your maximum return. Also, you're helping spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dark, hurting world. Somebody say amen. And these ministries are places that, like I said, you can partner with them yourself. That's from jerryseville.org. Amen. And I wanted to share, you know, a couple things from our church too, but I also found this kind of reiterating, especially what Brother Copeland was talking about with the importance of the word in this book from Smith Wigglesworth. Great, you know, man of God from years ago, right? Just amazing ministry. But he said this in his book entitled Smith Wigglesworth, Apostle of Faith, the inspiring true story of the world-famous evangelist. Just a great book about stories of things that have happened in his life. Amen. But he said this. They said his constant advice to young people, Smith Wigglesworth, was fill your head and your heart with the scriptures. Memorize passages from the Word with the name of the book, the chapter, and the verse so that you can quote the scripture correctly in address or in open-air meetings. As you do this, you are sowing in your heart seeds which the Spirit of God can germinate. He can bring to your remembrance from time to time that which you have once memorized. You must be so soaked with the Word of God, you must be so filled with it, that you yourself are a living epistle, known and read of all men. Believers are strong only as the Word of God abides in them. The Word of God is spirit and life to those who receive it in simple faith, and it is a vivifier of all who own its way. Know your book, live it, believe it, and obey it. Hide God's Word in your heart. It will save your soul, quicken your body, illuminate your mind. The Word of God is full and final, infallible, reliable, and up to date. And your attitude toward it must be one of unquestionable obedience. If a thing is in the Bible, it is so. It is not even to be prayed about. It is to be received and acted upon. Inactivity of faith is a robber which steals blessing. Increase comes by action, by using what we have and what we know. Your life must be one of going from faith to faith. Somebody say amen. So make God's Word our final authority, right? Amen. Somebody say, God's Word is final authority in my life. Amen. And as we close today, I want to share what we're going to be focusing on this year as a church. Last year, we focused on the culture of the kingdom of God. And we taught on that a lot of last year. What's the culture of the kingdom of God? And how should, you know, the Word of God should be impacting the culture, or the culture should not be impacting the Word of God, right? How many believe the church ought to be impacting the culture, not the culture impacting the church? In fact, I added something to our statement of faith on our website a couple weeks ago when President Biden was kind of coming back to his whole, the whole redefinition of marriage, right? And talking about the gender confusion and almost to a point where churches could get into trouble if we say, I'm not going to marry you, you're two men. Oh, you hater. No, we're just being biblical, right? Amen. So I added a little sentence to our statement of faith, something to the effect of, we teach the culture of God's Word. We don't let the culture, you know, dictate to us. We're dictated to by God's Word, not the culture. You know what I'm saying? The other way around. So just in terms of, in case you're wondering about our church, amen, that's what we do. We let the Word of God affect us. We don't try to change the Word of God to fit into our life. Amen, or what we believe. But this year, I want to focus on the term kingdom reign, R-E-I-G-N. What does that look like, right? And specifically, a couple of verses that came to mind were, you heard the word authority a number of times in the prophetic words. So the authority of God's kingdom in our life, right? As we, whatever we do in this world. And we've heard, you know, a number of terminology or examples regarding mountains. And I've been learning this past year that in society there are several different mountains that need to be ruled by God's people in society. The mountains of, there's several. There's like I think media is one, education, family, religion, government. There's like seven mountains of society, and right now all of those mountains pretty much are being affected in a negative way by people that hate God, pretty much, in our nation, right? That's what was so encouraging to me about this week, seeing everybody just go right to prayer. It's like, yeah, you can talk on your mountaintop all you want, but this is who we are as a nation, right? But the reign of the kingdom of God in our lives, in our church, and in our nation, right? But Romans 5:17 says this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life." Somebody say, reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we're talking about reigning with him in our lives, giving the word of God that authority in our lives, right? In us reigning, wherever God's placed us and plugged us in, whatever the gifts he's given us in our lives as we pray over these things that we're expecting this year. And then Micah 4:1 says, that this really jumped out at me as I was studying about these mountains of society, right? This jumped off the page at me. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." Hallelujah. Amen. How many know that's in everybody's best interest? If God's people are in charge, I mean, you want to tell like the homosexual community out there, don't you know if the people that you want, you know, where that eventually goes, if like Muslim extremists took over, you're going to die. They will kill you. Right? Amen. Christians, we're not going to kill you. No, we're not going to embrace your philosophy, but we don't hate you. So really, having us in charge is in your best interest too, right? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I love that. "It shall come to pass in latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." So we're gonna focus on these things this year in terms of the reign of the kingdom of God in our lives and through us to wherever he's got us placed. Amen. So hallelujah, let's pray. And if you have your top three things, just take it out and lay hands on it, and let's just declare God's word over it as we're wrapping up Vision Day 2023, launching into this new year. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Father God, we thank you today for the message that you gave us. I know we did a lot of reading and studying and looking at prophetic words and things, God, and we just receive those words, Lord Jesus, over our lives, over the church, over our families and businesses and education and the gifts and callings you place in each one of our hearts, over this church. We, God, surrender to the authority of your word in our life this year. And we thank you, Lord, that this is the year of the maximum. We call in and we believe you for that harvest in our lives, God. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us all, God, into places of reigning and ruling in our lives, God. The gifts and talents and callings that you've placed on every person in this room. We thank you, Lord, that there is a place for us all, a gift and a calling and a destiny to be a voice for righteousness. In Jesus' name, a voice of life. Hallelujah. Lord, you've called every one of us to the mountaintop. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, Jesus. And God, we lift up our expectations this year, our top three expectations, and we say, let it be so, Lord. We receive your blessing, God, on these expectations this year. And I thank you, Father God, that these will be met so quick that we'll have to think of three more. In Jesus' name, we send out your angels to orchestrate situations and circumstances to make these things come to pass, and giving us ideas, concepts, insights, the right activities, the right goals, Father God. And a lot of this, Lord, we may not even know exactly how to make it come to pass. That's why we're bringing it to you, sir. It seems almost too big, almost impossible. But we bring it to you, Father God, for you're the one that makes things that seem impossible possible.